I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that, they're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. Nobody can touch me.
Jew in the world, here with a brand new episode of CM Jew's Wrestling Reviews right here on the Absolution Network. This is, of course, episode 37, and we are well into the month of February. And, you know, as I made mention last review or towards the end, thank you, Dark More and More, for giving me a wonderful idea of watching a pay-per-view I had never seen until a couple days ago. Oh, I mean, I was watching the WWE when it happened, but again, poor white kid, you know, no money, no moolah to fight the pay-per-view with. So I finally got to see a pay-per-view that I've seen so many, or moments, I was going to say, but more of like singular moments, as in one moment where Mick Foley comes crashing through the cage and indents the ring. I am, you know, like Zeus did in No Holds Barred. I am, of course, talking about No Way Out 2000. So that is going to be our review for the evening, you know, February. You know, I'll say this. It's kind of been interesting to sit there and say, what can I review in February? There's a couple of In Your Houses. There's the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. There's No Way Out. There's Elimination Chamber. And then, of course, you do have one ECW pay-per-view that took place. CyberSlam 1996 took place in February. And then, of course, I was actually looking at what WCW had. And interesting enough, Super Brawl came out, or Super Brawl was in February for WCW. So I'm still in the process of trying to figure out what exactly am I going to review. I've been reviewing a lot of more recent, a lot of Attitude Era. I mean, obviously, I want to see a lot of Attitude Era. Mind you, I definitely use this podcast as a vehicle to go back and watch Attitude Era pay-per-views. Because, you know, it's so hard to think, what do I watch now? I mean, I'm not a binge watcher, but at the same point in time, I probably could just, like, I'm going to watch all of 1998 this week. Bye. Done. And all of that. You know. So, again, it's just so hard to choose. So I thank you, Dark Mordor. And I'm seeing how much I can pimp Dark Mordor at the beginning of the show for giving me the idea to do No Way Out 2000. So definitely this, again, also February is just such a weird month, I think, wrestling-wise, because it's really, whichever pay-per-view WWE does, everybody knows it's all a setup for WrestleMania. Because it's the road to WrestleMania, and that's what everybody's excited for. And it's put it at like 2 month wait for WrestleMania. Everybody's excited for it. I know I'm getting excited for Mania. I plan to do a lot of good stuff this year for Mania. I will, by hell or high water, get 4 podcasts out. I hope more, because I hope to do multiple versions of one particular Mania I plan on doing. Again, just the choices. Like, oh, what can I do? But anyways, back to today's review. No Way Out to them. Hadn't seen it before. Set up a lot of great things for WrestleMania 2000. Course, you had Big Show versus The Rock, you had the Hardys versus Edge and Christian, the number one contendership tag team match, no extreme vehicles to use, and by vehicles I mean ladders or chairs or tables or anything. Dudleys versus the Outlaws for the tag team championships, Chris Jericho versus Kurt Angle, and but may very well be a classic. So, all stuff we'll get to. Really have nothing to say. It's been a slow news week, as you can tell. I mean, certainly, I found Raw to be very enjoyable this past week. There was a lot of stories I liked. You know, I like that they're pushing the Masters of the Universe. They got a win. I'm going to enjoy that tag team match at Fastlane. You have the continuing story of Ms. Dow, which I'm very much enjoying. Goddamn Bray Wyatt versus Dolph Ziggler stole the night. Damn, that was a good match. And that the way Ziggler like sold that, it's like he killed him. Bray Wyatt just killed a guy on TV. He just killed a guy. And somewhere Misha Mayhem is crying. but yeah, that... I thought they did a good segment with Seth Rollins and Ryback. The segment with Bray Wyatt and... not Bray Wyatt, but Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. The 2 segments with them. Rikishi getting into the Hall of Fame. Though if they were gonna... I don't like the fact that you have this tag team that loses a match, and then you show them being cheerful and everything the next moment later. There's a continuity issue there, again, but then again, it's the WWE, what do you expect? There was a lot of stuff I liked. We got Sting coming back. It's like, the one, though, thing, I'm like, God damn it, will we pull the trigger on Randy Orton? I'll give the WWE this. I am excited to see Randy Orton return. I understand... There are people who shall remain nameless, PWK, who might not be excited to see him return, but I certainly am. So, you know, I think that shows you I'm very much invested. Actually, maybe I have to get a little bit of that credit to the independent and internet wrestling crowd, because I'm so pissed off at that. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I've been too hard in WWE, and I've just relaxed. And you know what? I'm actually enjoying this build-up. So, thank you, internet wrestling fans, for being a bunch of assholes. Because that's going to endear me to everybody. But, you know, certainly, you know, February is just... a tough month to get through, because it's all about that build-up to WrestleMania, which certainly tonight's review is all about. It's all about build-up. Though I'll say this about No Way Out, considering how it ends, it's like, what's going to happen next? And I think ultimately that sometimes is the goal, is they want to build towards WrestleMania, but they want to try to hide it. They want to create suspense. You know, and they want to build a storyline going into Mania. And usually for the champion, they want to build it to where you have a champion who's trying to defend his title and a challenger that's, like, on a hot streak. So there's some reality to it. So it feels like a big time fight. You know. And that's something certainly they would mess up ultimately, I think, with this, but you know, then again. They had lost Austin for a year. I think that's the one thing that's very obvious about this, about, or at least about that year's pay-per-view as far as the heavyweight title match, is I think it would have been probably Triple H versus Austin had Austin not injured his neck. So, yeah, I'm completely wasting time now because I'm completely testing my new mic to break the fourth wall. And by new mic, I mean it's the microphone that came with my DragonSpeak program that I bought over 2 years ago and never pulled out of the box and has never used. But I ended up using the other day. I'm like, wow, DragonSpeak works so much better with this. Let me try this with a podcast. To peel... Okay, I'm not just peeling back the fourth wall. I just broke the fourth wall completely. And somewhere, Edwin is yelling at me, put the fourth wall back! Anyways, why don't we get into No Way Out, shall we? So, No Way Out 2000 took place on February 27th, 2000, at the Hartford Civic Center in Hartford, Connecticut, just down the road from WWE headquarters. I know that because, literally, I've been to Hartford. And, yeah, it's literally just down the road. It's down just down the highway, about 15 minutes. 15 minutes, half hour, give or take. Anyway, that's not important. So in Hartford, Connecticut, with an attendance of 12,551, it comes with the tagline of Let the Game Begin. And the theme song is On the Track by Derek Todd Sorensen, sponsored by PhoneFree.com. Because... this was still the early age of the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, your coming commentary team will be Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler with interviews Michael Cole, Lillian Garcia, ring announcer Howard Rico, and referees Earl Hebner, Tim White, Jim Cordes, Jack Doan, and Chad Patton. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into No Way Out 2000.
It's all about the game. And how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pay. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run. Like a Cleveland bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what my moves gonna be. Come on over, sucker, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.
And welcome back to Let's Get Right. And we start off with our first match of the night. Kurt Angle versus WWF Intercontinental Champion Chris Jericho in China for the WWF Intercontinental Champion. By the way, Kurt Angle is the current WWF European Champion at the time. By the way, before I forget, because I kind of did, there were two dark matches, which of course I can't see because they were on Heat and they don't have those episodes up. As we've established, you have Mosh with Thrash. Defeating S.A. Rios with the current WWF Light Heavyweight Champion with Lita, by the way, by disqualification. The match was for the WWF Light Heavyweight Championship, so that title did not change hands, but disqualification, but S.A. Rios lost. And it's interesting to hear the name S.A. Rios, especially considering last year during WrestleMania, reviewing WrestleMania 14, and the fact that S.A. Rios was there, but I digress. And then in the second one, it was Ivory and Midian defeating Jacqueline and Funaki in a mixed tag team match. But as I said, Kurt Angle versus the current WWF European Champion versus Chris Jericho, the current WWF Intercontinental Champion, for the WWF Intercontinental Championship with China there. This was just a great opening match. It's an instant classic. You have two of the very best that ever laced up a pair of boots, and Chris Jericho and Kurt Angle putting on a damn good match. And certainly Kurt Angle was still a little green at this time. But the thing about Kurt Angle's greenness is that he made up with it with his charisma and with his just raw wrestling skill. It's ultimately what made him so beloved and what made him so successful years later as he gained that experience and didn't become green. This was just a great match, great back and forth by Kurt Angle. Again, this is, you know, and that's the interesting thing. There are certain, like, errors of Kurt Angle's wrestling. You know, and really what it comes down to is there's, like, the first couple years of him wrestling where he really didn't use suplexes. Like, he used a suplex, but, like, a vertical suplex and maybe a belly to back. But it was a lot more mat wrestling and things like that. It seemed after he would wrestle people like Eddie Guerrero and Chris Jericho, that he started to gain the German suplex. That he started to gain, to be the suplex machine that he became. So, this was still towards that green era, where he wasn't, or at least didn't have as much experience as he would have later. But still, this is a classic, man. I mean, Chris Jericho being Chris Jericho. I mean, you still see a bit of that cruiserweight Chris Jericho is still there. But you also see him, the parts of him that are becoming the Chris Jericho that would be the prevalent light heavyweight contender of the mid-thousands that Chris Jericho was. Ultimately what would lead to him being the best in the world at what he does. Great back and forth match. The only issue is the ending. And there's a lot of these type of endings in this pay-per-view. This is literally the pay-per-view of the "this is bullshit, this is bullshit." I guess, though, that probably depends on who you're cheering for, but I digress. Mind you, I like the idea that, you know, Kurt Angle having to cheat to win. This is, like, the one match where I think it would make sense. Again, Kurt Angle brings it. I love the storytelling that ultimately leads to him ultimately getting away with using the title. I think it's the China bit. It's like, you have this thing to where China gets thrown into the ring steps, ultimately like Chris Jericho. I don't know if this leads anywhere or anything, but still, it's just that part of that little match, it's like part of that build-up I didn't need. Or at least, I think what irritates me is that it clearly seems like Chris Jericho pushed Kurt Angle into China, so why wouldn't China be mad at Chris Jericho, but she isn't, and my head hurts. But anyways, just a classic match. Great back and forth, and again, starting off with promos by both of them, Kurt Angle doing his promo, and then Chris Jericho, like, "Will you please shut the hell up?" And of course, later on, the ultimate ending of Chris Jericho and China locking Kurt Angle in the trunk of his car also helps with that. Anyways, our next match is for the WWF Tag Team Championship, as the Dudley Boys of Bubba Ray and D-Von, and mind you, Bubba Ray and his still Southern, D-Von, get the tables as they face the New Age Outlaws of Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, the current WWF Tag Team Champions. Because, you didn't know? Well, you better call somebody. Because, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, D-Generation X proudly brings to you its six-time WWF Tag Team Champions of the World, the Road Dogg Jesse James, the Badass Billy Gunn, the New Age Outlaws. And of course, if you're not down with that, we've got two words for ya! And, you know, considering that this was a really short match, it was barely 5 minutes at 5 minutes, 20 seconds. Yeah, it's good for what it is. It's the Dudley Boys being great heels, is what it is. This match was set up on multiple things. One, it was set up the Dudley Boys becoming champions. It was also setting up, I guess, some tension between the New Age Outlaws of them so that they could split up. Billy Gunn himself at some point, because certainly, here's the thing about Billy. Billy, we like you a lot as Mr. Ass, but here's the thing. I would like to believe that your injury was caused by the lead pipe to the arm that Bubba hit you with. If you had not entered the match whole with your arm literally dangling to your side and you was holding it as if it was already hurt. I just want to know, where the hell did Billy Gunn himself before that situation? I just need to know. Yeah. I just need to know. But anyways, you know, Bubba takes Billy Gunn out with a lead pipe, and then that leads directly into Road Dogg getting the 3D, and your new WWF Tag Team Champion is the Dudley Boys. Which again, two straight matches with two straight title changes. Jericho becoming the Intercontinental Champion, and the Dudleys becoming the Tag Team Champions. You then have next an unscheduled match that, I'm sorry. I fall asleep because I heard it was Mark Henry versus Viscera. By the way, I made that joke. And I like the storyline between Mark Henry and Mae Young, because I never laughed harder than that storyline, in particular during the birth of Handy. Handy was always just so handy with himself. Till he hit puberty, and then he constantly would do five-figure discounts. That's when Mae Young brought him in home and says, "Handy, you've got to get a hold of yourself. You're never going to find it. You need to find a good left-handed woman." I cried myself up. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, give me strength. I don't know if that... Wow. I'm now starting to scare myself because, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm Jewish. Why? But, I've given myself the giggles. Oh, bye. Anyways. Yeah, I don't think anybody cared about this match. This was something that was built... You'd have two matches that were built off of stuff that happened during Sunday Night Heat. Another one that will come after the next match. Both were in their own ways, essentially... piss breaks and meant there to like, well, we have these storylines that we're doing on Raw and stuff like that, so, or the storyline that we're about to start on Raw, and, you know, we want to start it here or continue it here at the pay-per-view in some form. And that's what they were. And the first of these matches were Mark Henry versus Viscera. The storyline being that Viscera, you know, Mae Young at this point was pregnant. Yes. Now, don't get me wrong. There have been stories of 77-year-old women becoming pregnant. But yes, this is the WWE. By the way, for all those who say they weren't progressive in women rights, I mean, goddammit, you're showing a 77-year-old woman still having been able to have children. I think that's progressive enough. But, yeah, Viscera splashed Mae Young and had possibly... Maybe that's why all that was left was a hand. Viscera, you know, splashed the rest of the baby to bits, and all that was left was a hand. I'm not gonna let this go. Let it go. Let it go. God damn it, Disney, you're the devil. I'm gonna... Okay, I need to put this behind me somehow, because I'm not going to let it go. So to say, it was a pretty boring match. Mark Henry versus Viscera. It's two big guys, basically almost a sumo match. Mark Henry ends up getting the win with a World's Strongest Slam, or at least a version of it. And him and Mae Young go off to the back. And God damn it, let me move past this so I can regain my goddamn motherfucking sanity. That's the match I lost it on, folks. I just want this recorded for the record. This is the match that goddamn motherfucking broke me. somewhere, TWK is going, God damn it. TWK would do that just to get a rise out of you. Anyways, our next match is a tag team match to determine the number one contendership for the WWF Tag Team Championship. You have Edge and Christian versus the Hardy Boys with a returning Terry Runnels and woohoo! Now, I do want to say one thing. This is where I agree with a little bit of sexism here. Now, mind you, yes, Jerry the King Lawler is a heel commentator and does a lot of sort of heel things. But for me, the whistling, like Terry's a dog. Where he whistles like, "Here, Terry, come here, Terry." It's like, okay, that's pushing it a little over the line for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, I certainly love the whole puppies, because it is hilarious. But when he's doing that, that's pushing it for me. Anyways, this actually is your second longest match of the night at 15 minutes. And, boy, it felt all of 15 minutes. Now, don't get me wrong. Edge and Christian and Hardy Boys were always fun. They were two young, great tag teams, and it was fun to watch them. But the problem with this match is that they're very sloppy. A lot of the maneuvers felt sloppy. There were times where I was confused with who's in and who isn't. And mind you, it's better than another match which also has the same problems, but definitely it just felt way too sloppy for me. And then again, you have the "this is bullshit" ending of, you know, Terry turning on the Hardy Boys, which you don't understand, and I kind of forget the context of why she ultimately turns on them. I think Terry just ended up going batshit crazy. You know, maybe she was PMSing. And no, that's not a joke at Women's Issues. That's actually a joke at a actual stable in the WWE of her and Jacqueline, for those who remember. Featuring D'Lo Brown. But I digress. It's a good tag team match. And again, it shows you how much faith they had in the tag team division that this is the second longest match in the night and how hot they were. At the same point in time, it's just, a lot of the maneuvers felt sloppy. The teen wrestling felt sloppy. Overall, the match just felt sloppy. And it's like, I expect more. I have a higher expectation. And it's not that I expect them to be going through tables or chairs or ladders, which, mind you, this was a regular tag team match. There was no weapons allowed. And it's not that. It's just that I expect more flow. I expect more fluidity. I expect them not to be as sloppy. But again, this was the Hardys. You know, the Hardys were just becoming big. This is really the first 6 months of them being big. And if you remember their early years, they were known for being very sloppy. So this shows you still some of that sloppiness was still there. But it was not as prevalent as it used to be. But again, both teams were a bit sloppy in my mind. I think that's ultimately what led to the match being a triple threat, the table match. It's like, well, Edge and Christian were sloppy, and Hardy was a crappy. Both teams are light, and we don't know who we want, so we'll put them both in. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of other stuff, as obviously had been signed off if you watch the Rivalries videos on WWE. So, ultimately, a solid match, but like I said, very sloppy. Our next match is the other impromptu match that came off of Heat, as Taz faces the Big Boss Man with Prince Albert. On Sunday Night Heat, Taz is trying to enter the building. He comes to a locked door. It's like, why is this door locked? And he's jumped by the Big Boss Man and Prince Albert. Now, the match is listed at 1:23. This segment goes on probably for a good 6-7 minutes, because there's the match. Now, the match is short. Taz ultimately gets Big Boss Man in the Taz mission, and Prince Albert comes in and leads the Boss Man to being disqualified. And then Boss Man and Prince Albert proceed to attempt to beat Taz down. Now, I actually love this segment. Not just because I'm a Taz fan, but again, this makes Taz, I think, look really strong. They do so much to him. They beat him down. Boss Man breaks his nightstick over Taz's head, and yet Taz keeps getting up and taking either Albert or Boss Man down and trying to beat them. He just keeps getting up. I thought that was great. And I thought that made Taz, you know what? Yeah, Taz is getting beat down, but even in him being beat down, he's looking like this unstoppable beast who just won't stay down. You know, it's like, this is one of the reasons I came to love Taz. You know, I love the suplex, I love the submission, and then you had this never say die, you know, FTW attitude, which is on display here. It's like, God damn it, I love this guy. So I thought, you know, unlike the segment that shall not be named, I don't know why, but I sort of had that feeling of, Michael P.S. Hayes. Because I watched the recent, if you haven't seen the latest WWE countdowns, it's the most infamous unique matches, and they bring up the match that Vince had, the tag team match of him and Shane versus Shawn Michaels and God at Backlash 2006. And Michael P.S. Hayes brings up, you know, that Vince came up with the idea over the Atlantic Ocean, and Michael Hayes is just like, could you wait till we're on the ground to spring this up when we're not in God's backyard? I don't know why I'm thinking of that right now. I don't want to name the match, but unlike the other match, which again, Snorfest. Well, combination of Snorfest and me making certain jokes all night long, this actually had a point to it. This was very interesting. It was very compelling. And I put that all on Taz. Taz just with that FTW attitude. Taz, my man. Oh, they definitely missed the mark with you. And to which, you know, definitely check out Taz's newest podcast. You know, Taz does a podcast now, and you should definitely check it out. Not on Podcast One. It's on another new podcast. It apparently had a commercial during the Super Bowl, and I apologize. It's blank. The name of the site is blanking on me, so I apologize for that. So that match happens. Our next match is X-Pac with Tori versus Kane with Paul Bearer in a no-holds-bar match. Because it's no-holds-barred. It's no-holds-barred. It's no-holds-barred. And here comes Zeus. I'm in a good mood tonight, can't you tell? I really enjoyed this match. I had a very compelling storyline. You know, X-Pac stealing Kane's first love in Tori. Not Tori Wilson, but Tori. And, you know, Kane apparently being disillusioned. And Paul Bearer ultimately being the one to bring him back and, like, set him on the street and... The storyline was very compelling, and the match was compelling. It was a great match. Kane and X-Pac told a great story. Definitely one of my favorite moments was Paul Bearer jumping on X-Pac and beating the hell out of him. I was like, you go, Paul! You go! And then him chasing Tori around the ring. And, by the way, that was hilarious to see his... Like, he went, boom, boom, you know, Tori's going, humming, 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 humming. He's going, I have lost it tonight. I really have. But just a great match, told a great story. You know, there may not have been, like, ultimate moments, I think, from this match that I can really recall. I mean, the one is definitely the ending. The chokeslam, the wicked chokeslam to X-Pac, and then the tombstone to Tori. And again, but then also the end of, like, X-Pac at the end being just enough resourcefulness to get that drop pick where the steps land on Kane and gets the 1-2-3. It was a really good match. It told a really good story. And I think I definitely think this is the underdog of this pay-per-view. Solid pay-per-views usually have that one match. Hell, there are even bad pay-per-views, I can say, that because the pay-per-view is so bad, everybody wants to forget it. But they forget that one match that was just really good. That's what this match is. This is that underdog match. Because it was just a solid match all around. And speaking of what could have been solid matches, is what should our next match had been. Our next match is a six-man tag team match where Too Cool, featuring the newest inductee of the WWE Hall of Fame, Rikishi, with Scotty Too Hotty and Grandmaster Sexay versus the team of the Radicals of Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, and Perry Saturn with Eddie Guerrero on the side, though he gets sent to the back pretty quickly after Eddie gets caught trying to lie, cheat, and steal in his own way. Again, I think all of these are solid wrestlers, probably with the exception of Grandmaster Sexay. but, you know, and they all can tell great stories, but this just felt like an entire clusterfuck. I'm sorry. There's a lot of sloppiness here. It was very confusing a lot of times to see who was in the match. I mean, I kind of also want to be fair and sit there and say that I was watching this while I kind of had a headache, so there were times where I was falling asleep. Not because the match was boring, but because the headache was really bad and I was falling asleep. But at the same point in time, I ended up rewatching it. It's just like, it just feels very sloppy. And very much like the Hardy Boys match with Edge and Christian. You know, again, this is the third longest match of the night at 13 minutes and 30 seconds. And it felt like it. Again, like that, like the Hardy Boys and Edge and Christian match, it felt like it went on a little bit too long. It just felt like a clusterfuck. It just felt sloppy. And ultimately, what leads it to is there's that point. They wanted to do something with Dean Malenko, where he gets the worm and then gets sat on for the 1-2-3. But it's just, I think, again, it's the pay-per-view debut of the Radicals, and yet you have them lose. I think that's a horrible booking decision as well. If the match had ended with, there's this point to where Grandmaster Sexay hits the leg drop, I want to say, on Perry Saturn, and then Benoit hits the flying headbutt on him, and then rolls them over, so Saturn is doing the pin, that would have been a great finish. And it's like, that, you know what, for the sloppiness, it was still a good, solid match. But they don't do that, and they have Rikishi and Dean Malenko come in. It's like, who's legal? Actually, that's the one time I knew who was legal, but that's supposed to be the point where the referee is supposed to forget who's legal. And then of all the times for the referee, and I believe the referee for this match was Jim Corderas. In fact, I know it was Jim Corderas. These referees can't remember 90% of the time who's legal. Yet the one time they do, it's this. I'm like, God damn it. So, just a very sloppy match, and it should have been better than what it was in my mind. Next, we have the first of our two main events. We have the Big Show versus The Rock in a singles match to determine the number one contender for the WWF Championship at WrestleMania 2000. Because, you know, Rock made a boo-boo and couldn't keep both feet off the floor. Which, again, they told a great story for, and this was a solid match. It didn't feel too long, didn't feel too short. Rock is as energetic as ever. Moved great in the ring with Big Show, and they had a very solid match. Again, it's the ending. It's the ending, you know. Earl Hebner, by the way, Earl Hebner also does the next match, which is very strange, because you don't usually see a referee do two straight matches. Especially when he gets involved in a altercation like he does in this match, which again makes it even more strange. Again, I just noticed these things. But Earl Hebner gets knocked out of the ring, Big Show takes advantage, hits the chokeslam. Tim White comes down. Now, part of this story is that in the first match of the night, Earl Hebner came down to try to explain to Tim White how he missed Angle using the belt, but of course, because you can't reverse a referee's decision, or at least after so many minutes, I guess, they couldn't do anything about it. So I guess there was this thing with Tim White and Earl Hebner where Earl Hebner had chewed Tim out about not catching Angle using the title. They really mentioned it very briefly, but if you're not paying attention, you miss it. So Tim White comes to count the 1-2-3. He gets the one, and Earl Hebner, pulls him out and says, No, I'm refereeing this match. Go to the back. And they get into an altercation and start beating on each other. And it's like, what the hell? Of course, that leads to Rock being able to take advantage, hit the rock bottom, goes for the people elbow, and mind you, Shane McMahon comes out at this point as the referees are arguing. Shane, who had came back. Sorry, I'm hearing weird noises. Damn, what I wouldn't give for a hand on helping with this. I can't. I gotta move on. Moving on! This is why I can't talk about Mae Young anymore. Anyway, so Rock going for his people elbow. As he's coming back to go hit the elbow, Shane comes in, hits him with the chair. Big Show covers. Tim Whitehead apparently gotten rid of Earl Hebner, comes in, hit count to 1, 2, 3. And so Big Show wins the number one contender spot for the WWF Champion for WrestleMania 2000. It's, again, as I said, this is bullshit. What's not bullshit is the next match. Our main event of the evening is the WWF Champion Triple H with Stephanie McMahon Helmsley versus Cactus Jack in Hell in a Cell for the WWF Championship. And if Cactus Jack loses, he is going to be forced to retire from wrestling. I was about to say from WWE, but it says here from wrestling in general. God damn this match. What is it about Hell in a Cell that only Mick Foley is able to bring out? I mean, mind you, there are other good Hell in a Cells. But when Mick Foley's in a Hell in a Cell, it's special for whatever reason. And it's that, you know, it really is that devil may care. You know, I don't give a fuck. You cannot fucking kill me because I am Foley, and Foley is God attitude that he has in there. And mind you, also the fact that it's Cactus fucking Jack, the craziest son of a bitch to ever step into a wrestling ring. It's like, God damn it. And like, oh my God, the spots. There's a spot where, you know, Cactus jumps, you know, they're in the cage and Triple H is a bloody mess and he has a chair and he jumps off the rope. It's that candid Cactus Jack elbow, but it's used with a chair. Like, oh my God, that was a great spot. There's a point where Triple H throws the steps in the Cactus Jack. It's like, oh my God, he killed him. That's it, he's dead. And we haven't even gotten to the part where, I mean, I know he's going to get up, but it's like, that's it, he's dead. And then there's the point where, by the way, how nobody got hurt on this segment, I don't know, but the point where Cactus Jack throws the steps through the cage, and by the way, just great storytelling that the first part of the match that ultimately leads, you know, they could have done, you know, they knew that, well, the last time we did Hell in a Cell, with Cactus Jack, we started on the top of the cage, and Cactus Jack has talked about how we're going to lead to the cage, so part of the storyline is that, you know, Triple H and Stephanie have locked the cage with like 20 different padlocks of the door and really locked them in so there's no way out. Roll credits. Thank you, CinemaSins. Thank you. So that whole storytelling to where you had that first half, the first part of the match was inside the cell and the second part was outside. And that first part was great in its own way. They were, you know, they both did what each part does well. You know, again, the viciousness inside the cell was on full display from these two, and just, it was a great battle. And then you had the point where Cactus Jack throws the step into the cage. A hole opens up. And Cactus Jack, being the crazy motherfucker that he is, does he just, like, go and, like, open it, like, can I get through? No. He runs full speed and throws himself through it to make it bigger. Then gets up like nothing happened, picks up Triple H, throws him through the hole. It's like, God damn it, I love Cactus Jack. Now, if I mention I love Cactus Jack, and then it's just like moment after moment, like building. You know, the pile driver on the table. Oh my God. He attempts to go up, and Stephanie prevents him, but forces her to go away, knocks the police down, goes to the ringkeeper's area, gets her out of the way, find out that Cactus had hidden something there earlier, apparently, because here's Barbie, and my God, one of the greatest expressions I will ever seen. Triple H takes one look at Cactus Jack with Barbie, goes bug-eyed, and then tries to hightail it out. He's like, oh, shit! Like, tried to jump the barrier. There's not enough room to jump. And he like, by the way, great selling of all of this, obviously. But tried to get over and he can't. And Cat is able to catch him and hits him with it. It's like, I love this match. I love it. And of course, the climb, which ultimately leads to Cactus Jack going through a table. It's a good spot. I think it's a nice, even spot that makes this match feel different. Again, they do have some similar spots, but again, it's also making it feel unique, and definitely gives it a more its uniqueness, so it doesn't feel like his flying off the outside of the ring, going through a table spot from the Hell in the Cell before. And then they're on the cage. They battle back and forth, and again, it's that build-up to Foley Ultimate going up through the cage roof. You know, it's like, what are they going to do now? And then he lights Barby on fire. And the only thing that pops into my mind is Joey Styles on ECW One Night Stand going, oh my god, we're going to get sent to jail tonight, aren't we? It's like, god damn it, it's on fire. And he hits. Say what you want about Triple H, but he allowed himself to be hit in the head with a 2x4 wrapped in barbed wire that's been set on fire. I think Triple H loves this business. I'm just saying. And then he's like, I'm a pile driver him on it. It's like, we're really about to kill a motherfucker on TV, aren't we? And they certainly did, just not the motherfucker. I mean, if I had been watching this for the first time, certainly it wouldn't have been the motherfucker I thought they were about to kill. I'm like, they're about to kill Triple H. Nope, we're about to kill Mick Foley. Because pile driver, nope, countered into a backdrop, and Mick Foley goes through the roof and implants into the ring like Zeus did in No Holds Barred. And yes, I know, that's about the third time I've brought up No Holds Barred and Zeus. Wonder if that is still on Netflix. I got a feeling I want to watch it again now. Be a great lead-in for tomorrow's NXT War, NXT Rival, because, you know, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. My name's Matty J, I'm throwing my money at the screen and it's doing nothing. My god. That's it. It's really over now. It's like, well, somebody get out here now. God damn it, JR did a great job calling this match. King did a great job telling this match. And again, that story, and they tell a great story in their commentating, mind you. By the way, I thought for the most part, with a few exceptions here or there, I thought their commentating was great throughout the night. But in particular here, because, you know, like, they were there the last time, and there's like, they're very hesitant to, you know, because they're worried for Cactus Jack. Because they know what Cactus Jack wants to do. And they know what happened the last time Cactus Jack did those things. But certainly, it's just, wow. And he's just like, they're lifeless. I mean, I'm about to say great sell by Foley. He's not selling. He's really hurt. I guarantee it. But there's that great moment to where, you know, Triple H is like, he's so hesitant, he like slowly makes him down, and he's like, he hits the foot, it's like, oh, he's dead. And then Foley raises his arm like, fuck you! It's like, god damn it! Why won't he stay down? And punch Pedigree end of match. Great standing ovation for Cactus Jack. And mind you, again, the end, like, kick out, Cactus! Kick out! Damn it! I thought, for the send-off that he was given, because, again, he would, let's be honest here, he ends up being part of WrestleMania, in that WrestleMania main event. I think it was that, you know, he signed it as, you know, Cactus Jack will not wrestle again, but he never said anything about Mick Foley, or something along those lines. You know. Of course, it was his last match, at least because, you know, again, he had taken one too many hits. As Mick Foley has put in his DVD, I think that he went to Vince and said, you know, I'm losing memory on things, like, you wrestled your last match, then. And because, you know, Vince was worried for his health. You know what, and for it being really a glass match as a full-time wrestler, I thought it was a great match. I mean, it's the match tonight. There's no contest. There's so much emotion. And again, it goes back to what made the Hell in a Cell between him and Undertaker at King of the Ring 98 so great. It's that emotion. You know, you can talk about it being a dangerous spot fest all you want. And you know what? You may be right. But at the same point in time, there's so much emotion in this match. That's ultimately what drives it to being just amazing to watch. Because there's so much emotion, there's so much adrenaline, you're so caught up in the moment that you don't give a damn about the fact that it's fake. You don't give a damn that it's scripted or whatever. Because you're so caught up in the emotion that is being portrayed that you're just cheering, and it becomes real. And it's that thing like, yeah, this is real, as opposed to what they were doing in WCW at the time, you know, with, you know, Viagra on the pole matches. That was, like, completely fake. This felt real. And just great job by the performers. So, that is it for this review of New Way Out. Top three moments. Number three is, number three for me is Foley going off inside the cage. Mind you, all of these are coming from the Hell in a Cell. I give this a thought, but you know, they all need their moments. Foley coming off the top, or at least the second rope, onto Triple H with the chair inside the cage. Number two, Barbie's debut, and the Triple H attempted escape and eventually hit. And I'll put that in there with, you know, the lighting of Barbie on fire hitting Triple H. But the number one moment has to be, I mean, it's the moment that this pay-per-view is remembered for. Foley going through the roof of the cage. It's just, holy shit. I mean, the crowd did it. It's like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. And they did it for a reason. So, there's so many moments from that. And that's also partially due to the fact that there were some good matches, but just some a lot of sloppy ones, and even the good matches didn't have like a particular moment that stuck out to me. As for my top three matches, I think we know what's number one, but let's just go over them. Number three, X-Pac versus Kane. Just a great, solid match. And it had some form of a clean ending, as opposed to the six-man tag and the Edge and Christian match and Dudley's and all that. Again, where it's that whole "this is bullshit" type of thing. Number two, Chris Jericho versus Kurt Angle in what I think is a classic and just a great opener for the pay-per-view. But then again, number one, Triple H versus Cactus Jack and Hell in a Cell for the WWF Champion. Number one match of the night. It is everything that was advertised to be. And again, it's that main event match that is worth the price of admission. So just those are the top three matches. And all three of them were good solid matches. So final thoughts? You know, There are some solid matches here. I mean, you have X-Pac versus Kane. You have Jericho versus Angle. You have throughout a couple, you know, you have a solid match for the Tag Team Championship, but very short. You have two impromptu matches, one that I don't care about, it's because I want to stay away from it right now, and then one that really helped build the character. You had two very sloppy matches that should have been better than what they were. And I think, and those are the matches that are really holding this pay-per-view down and taking it down a couple points. You had a second main event that was okay, but and clusterfuck at the end. But you had a main event that was everything that was advertised, and worth the price of admission. So, all that said, I give No Way Out a 3.5 out of 5. It's a really good pay-per-view. Certainly worth watching for Hell in a Cell. X-Pac and Kane is worth watching, along with Jericho versus Angle. But there are just a lot of... And mind you, if you're looking for something that to understand some of the stories going into WrestleMania 2000, certainly something you can watch. So those are really the two reasons. But yeah, they misstepped on, I think, a lot of things. I think they misstepped with Big Show of Rock. The Too Cool Radicals match was too sloppy for me. The Hardys and Edge and Christian match was too sloppy for me. The Dudley Boys were, I think, too dominant in that match. Probably because Billy Gunned himself. So there's a lot of issues with it. But there wasn't an absolute horrid match. Well, six-man tag match, I would say, is horrible, but only because it was just so sloppy. But still, you know, you have two great, solid matches that are, I think are very underestimated in X-Pac versus Kane, Jericho versus Angle, and then you just have an instant classic in that Hell in a Cell between Triple H and Cactus Jack. So, 3 out of 5 for me. And that is it for this episode of CMG's Wrestling Reviews. Remember, if you have any comments of any kind that you want to leave the show, remember there are several ways to contact us. One, you can email us at absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. That is absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. You can also contact us on Stitcher, which you can go to www.stitcher.com. Like us and leave us a comment there. And, of course, download Stitcher onto your phone where you can listen to our shows. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook by going to www.facebook.com. Like us and leave us a comment there. Again, that way you can follow everything that gets released for the Absolution Network. And of course, you can always leave a comment on the website itself that you can find at www.an.132productions.com. And of course, while you're there, remember to check out all the other 132 Productions content that I do along with my friends. Of course, right here on the Absolution Network, you have the Otaku Momentum, you have John Ramos's Toku and anime videos and voiceover videos. You have Shin Tiger Girl and his wrestling anime and fighting video game tournament videos. And of course, you have everything I do, Tom's Prerogative, which I'm going to have 2 episodes out because I just realized I completely forgot to post last week's episode. How, I don't know. So that's coming out tomorrow. But you got that. You've got Tom Prerogative, Tom's Top 10, and of course the Intergalactic Graphic Review Podcast with Edwin, which will also have an episode out this week, Hell or High Water. Just so much to talk about. And of course, while you're there's also Tokyo SOS, a Godzilla podcast, which you can find at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And of course, my Comic Book Crazy site featuring Comic Book Crazy, Hexcast, and Spectacular Webs, which you can find at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. And that is it for this episode of CMG's Wrestling Reviews. On the next episode, well, you know, I've been giving it some thought, and, you know, it's time to go back to 1999. It's time, because, you know, it's Valentine's Day this weekend, and what a better pay-per-view than the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Because love is in the air with Stone Cold and Mr. Man. Oh yes, we're going there. So, next week, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. And until next time, my wrestling fans, I want you to remember one goddamn thing about me. C.M. Jew. I'm the best Jew in the world!
You're all I have and you're all I need. Each and every day I pray to get to know you. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around, all around, nobody's without too negative. But I believe, yes, I believe, I said I believe. I'm on two feet, one be brought down on one knee. I fight with all of my might and get these demons to flee. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Out of darkness comes light, twilight unto the heights. Crown lights burning up, out of the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I fight with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. What's this feeling, my love will be for holding and sealing. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God, songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Time it starts a feeling. What's this feeling? My love will rip a hole in a ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Stripping away the layers and reveal your soul. You gotta give yourself up and then you become whole. You're a slave to yourself and them don't even know. Your mother's a little fast life, but you're brave.